Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you. Talk about how
a person was forgiven a great matter by a leader, but he himself would not forgive. Sort of this type of hypocrisy. And when Christ left on record of the model prayer, he said, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." So forgiveness is a kingdom principle. And so when we study this last section of this book of Matthew, we're studying about this kingdom principle of forgiveness. And we're going to go ahead and look at it and see how those who truly have been forgiven would respond compared to those who don't accept forgiveness. So I'm again at verse 23, Matthew 18, chapter verse 23. It says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, for his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. In verse 27 says, then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. And this is illustrative of someone that owed a great debt, but asked for forgiveness and was forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with us as humans. The Bible says in Romans 3, chapter 3, Romans 3, 23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And mm-hmm. and so all of us have fallen out of the right relationship with God. And so there was a need for us to go to someone who we've offended, because we offended God's perfect law. We offended God's relationship. We offended God's command that we shouldn't sin. And because of that, we needed forgiveness. And God allows us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so this whole thing of grace, this thing, whole thing of forgiveness is a kingdom principle. And we have to thank God it's a kingdom principle, because if we can't plead our case to God, we have no one to plead our case to. And we're all guilty as sin, in so many words, with no way out. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And that's very true. And as you were talking about that, it made me think of how much love and compassion Christ has for us. And he himself is perfect. But we, you know, we always say we want to be Christ-like. We want to follow the example of the Lord. But that one is one that we follow the least.
Amen.
If somebody gets upset with us, or somebody owes us something, or they don't react the way we expect, we're the first to get mad, not want to speak. But that's not Christ-like. And we'll even do it even when we know it's not Christ-like, because, and we blame it on our emotions, as opposed to going to Christ and saying, Lord, I want to continue to be like you. Help me to deal with my emotion of non-forgiveness.
Amen. We have to definitely have Christ in us, Dr. G, in order to forgive like this, because the human nature is not to forgive.
Dr. Amen.
You're right about that.
That's right.
And, you know, it's funny that you say that, because when we were last on, I think we ended up, because most of us are just like Peter. You know, we want to know, where does the forgiveness cut off? You know, how many times are we supposed to forgive folks? But yet we forgive that even in the model prayer, you know, when we're praying, you know, we're asking the Lord to It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we leave all of it out. You know, we want forgiveness, but it's hard for us to forgive other people.
Amen.
Right. And you know, it's always good to know that God doesn't ask us to do something that he wouldn't do. And
that's,
you know,
true.
In that cry from the cross, you know, he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you see in this example, this parable, where he's talking about this king, and the king had every right to demand what was owed, you know, and just as demands that, you know, back in Genesis, second chapter, when he said, you know, you can eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shouldn't eat of it, for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And that's in Genesis 2:16-17. And justice is sitting out saying, hey, this is what you said, and these people disobeyed you in willful disobedience, and they partook, prayed over, ate the forbidden fruit. So we want justice. And rightfully so. And so the only way justice was satisfied is that God became our sacrificial lamb. He was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He became our innocent life that shed innocent blood. The Bible teaches that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so he willingly shed his innocent life to atone for our shortcomings, our sins. And, you know, rightfully so, we deserve to pay for our shortcomings. We deserve to pay for our sins. But grace and mercy and compassion of our great King, our great God, says even though justice demanded that we should die, grace and mercy steps in and says we've already paid the price because we look past the fault and saw the need. And that's the crux of it. That's the nitty gritty, is when you can look past the fault and see the need. You know, all of us are in need of forgiveness. All of us are in need of compassion. And we have to understand that if it wasn't but by the grace of God, God Almighty, all of us, would be in a world of trouble. So we need to learn how to, Sheila G., come down off our high horse. That we all together, with all of our righteous put together, is but filthy rags. Sheila G.
Amen. Amen. And that's what, you know, we're talking about, how it's so hard for us to forgive, but we are filthy rags ourselves. And we have our own faults. And God forgave us our sins, so therefore we should forgive those who trespass against us. And that's why it's in the model prayer that, you know, acknowledging I have trespasses and God forgive me for mine, but by the same token, I'm going to follow your example and forgive others for theirs and look past their faults and see what the need is. And in doing so, I can set the example of what Christ is like. I can show someone else how to show that capacity, just like the king in here. When the person came forward, he had compassion on him. But the second part of the story was very interesting, though.
Amen.
Yeah, and Dr. G, it's amazing that a lot of people are going to go to hell because they're not going to ask for forgiveness. The hand of grace is extended. The price has been paid. But there's a lot of people that's not going to be humble enough to humble themselves to realize that I've come short of the glory of God, and I need help because there's no way for me to get back because of my transgressions. And a lot of people are going to miss heaven because of that foolish pride, because they believed in the great deceiver, the devil, that you're okay, you're not that bad. God just doesn't want you to be like him, as it was illustrated in Genesis, the third chapter. He doesn't want you to be God like him, knowing good and evil. Trying to say that God is a liar and God's trying to keep us from something. And so people will be so bullheaded and so naive and so hoodwinked and bamboozled and stiff-necked and stubborn that they will not bow down, and they'll miss heaven because of their own selfish, unrepentant belief. Dr. G.
Well, you know, you're right. And because I had a situation today where something happened, and I did everything in the way that I should, according to the way the Lord was leading. But then when the person came back at me, it was all off in the left field. And I had to hard today because just that quick, I getting ready to go off into my feelings and step out of my spiritualness into the human.
Right.
And I wanted to let folk know in no uncertain terms and give them a real good piece of my mind.
I know that's right.
I mean, and it's just that easy. And see, and if I hadn't gotten hold of myself, and I called Sheila J, said, give me a call when you can, and I shared with her, and we, you know, we talked about it, and basically just like we were talking about last night, how the enemy will come at you when you least expect.
Right.
And when you're doing the will of the Lord, that this whole thing of forgiveness and showing compassion, especially when people hurt you, is difficult. But the thing is, as you said, you know, you don't want to die not taking care of business in the way that you, because none of us know the day nor the hour.
That's true.
When the Lord is going to get us.
That's true.
So to go off in the left field, you mad, you're upset, and because someone has done something or said something, you can't forgive them. I mean, granted, it hurt my feelings and it hurt my human part, but once I home and I thought about it and I said, you know what, it wasn't worth letting go of what I believe and what I'm supposed to be. So I had to let that thing go. And once I did, you know, because see, then the Lord can heap coals on their head.
That's right.
So that, you know, I stay in the right relationship with the Lord, just in case.
Amen.
You call me on home. I want to be, I want to know I'm in the right relationship. Because I want to get my spiritual reward.
Amen. And it's so important to always evaluate self, because everybody is going to stand and give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And I can't stand for you, and you can't stand for me. We're going to stand, and we're going to give an account. And based upon what we have done in these bodies, and we just pray that people will receive that hand of grace. And, you know, one man got us into that, which is the Adam, and then one man will get us out of this, which is the God and man, Jesus, who paid the price. And so there's no other sacrifice for sin. There's nothing else coming. The Hebrew writer said there remains no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, there's nothing else coming down the line. You standing at this bus stop, this is the last. You see that thing coming smoking, it's the last thing smoking. There's nothing else that's going to relieve us or redeem us from the power and the penalty of sin. Ain't nothing coming. This is it. This is God's plan, whether we think it's fair or not. God said one man got you in it, one man is going to get you out. That's my plan. Is my extension of grace. I've forgiven you. I paid the price. All you had to do was humble yourself, and ask for forgiveness. And this is what the servant did. When we look at that in verse 26, it says, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. In other words, he's asking for forgiveness. He's asking for patience. Okay. And in 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He looked past his fault and saw his need. And that is one of the keys, a kingdom principle. A kingdom principle is looking past the fault and seeing the need and being willing to show compassion, being willing to show grace and mercy. And so when this was forgiven him, those who have been forgiven much forgiven and much which is given, much is required. And so because of that, we should understand that we've been forgiven a whole lot. And then because we've been forgiven a whole lot, then we should be humble enough to be able to walk as Christ would walk and have compassion or forgiveness for someone else. But in this example, in the second part of this parable, what we see is that the forgiven has the audacity not to forgive. Sheila G., when we look at this, it seems as if they have forgotten what greater price has been paid. And a lot of times Christians look down their nose after they've been saved, if you will, for several years or a period of time and have a tendency to look down their nose at those who have not been saved and to act holier than thou, like they've never been forgiven anything, or they've never had anything to be ashamed of or anything to have called them into account because of their shortcomings. And so we're going to pick this up in verse Matthew 18, verse 28. It says, "But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. In other words, a small price compared to the 1,000 talents that he had owed. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest." In other words, it's just arrogant. It's just uncompassion. It's just evil, unrighteousness to think that, you know, I can receive righteousness and grace at the hand of God and then just show my natural behind to someone. That doesn't owe us half as much that I owe.
Amen.
So hypocritical, so underhanded and dirty and vile. It's crazy. But you have people that have this mindset, and to think that they can get away with this is ludicrous. The hypocrisy reeks to high heaven. Sheila G.
That's right. And that's just like blatant hypocrisy. The fact that he actually owed more, which is like we've sinned way beyond sin and God forgave us our sins, but we can't forgive someone else. And the same thing with this servant. It's like it's almost like he thought he was better than the other person because he totally forgot. And a lot of times as Christians, that's what we do is, like you said, particularly in the church, we become holier than thou. And then not realizing, we don't even have to look at our past. Mm-hmm. Every day we do something or we have a thought, mm-hmm. word, or deed that God forgives us for when we seek for him. But let somebody say something to us or look at us the wrong way or we know we're right, but we still don't have that compassion that Christ has. And here it is, mm-hmm. the servant doing the same thing. It's like he was wrong and what he did, but someone forgave him, but he just blatantly, not even subtly, flipped the script to lay hands on this other person who did something that was even less than what he did. And sometimes we'll do that. We'll take someone's small sin and throw it up in their face,
mm-hmm.
as if the worst person in the world, when we know we got that big behind beam in our own eye.
Hey, and it's like we got skeletons in our closet. And some of us got skeletons in our closet, and they got a lot of flesh on them. They're not all the way skeletons. But they parade around, you know, especially with people in leadership in the church and
right.
and politics. And you look at the political situation that's going on now. Politics is so hypocritical.
It just
reeks.
Yes, it is.
As soon as you turn the TV on, you start smelling. If you have smell-o-vision, you couldn't stand to turn the TV on. It just reeks to high heaven. The politics, and then the politics and the foolishness that goes on in the church it just reeks, and it's like it's just so blatant in God's face. It's like taking God's grace and just misusing it, abusing it, and dragging it through the ground. And then it just says that he grabbed the guy by the throat. It's just this audacity, Dr. G, that to say mine is not as bad as yours, and because yours is bad, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and you gotta pay. Mine's not bad as yours, so I don't have to pay, but yours is bad. Not realizing that God sees all of this, and you know, like I said, some of us have skeletons in our closet with big chunks of meat on them. That is worse than what someone else has. This person owed 10,000, owed 1,000, and this one owed 10 to 100. You know, it's just volumes of hypocrisy. But to have that vile attitude of, you know, I'm gonna grab you by the throat and I'm just gonna, you know, have this indignation that I can do this to you in spite of what my stuff is. And when you look at, like I said, politics and a lot of the political or the religious leaders, they have this same stink or stench on them that it just kind of grabs you by the throat, Dr. Mm-hmm. G.
Man, well, you're right. And, you know, it's almost, I think, you know, you both have said it. It's almost as if to say, you know, I'm the potentate. I just like we heard the president say, well, I'm the president. So basically he can do whatever he wants and don't have to answer to it. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the spiritual realm and what really gets me, you know, these so-called Christians who are supposed to be Christians, but what it does for me, it lets me know in a real way who is saved and who isn't. And it shows mm-hmm. that colors when folk who have been forgiven can now act as ungodly as this individual does. And it really bears for a lot of prayer because this man was just completely out of his mind. And he had mm-hmm. just been forgiven by his Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that really blows your mind. And yet we got church folk like that.
Yep, sure do.
Amen.
You know, you sitting there, you're trying to deal with this kind of mess, and you're saying, where did all of this mess come from? And as you said, you know, the audacity of these folk when their own stuff stinks.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing in the church, and you know, as people in the church, everybody can observe, and everybody has a someone that watched them at one time come up short, and all of a sudden it comes short of the glory of God. And people have watched everybody from the pulpit to the door come up short.
Mm-hmm.
You have people that when you come up short, they forget all about this stuff. and go ape crazy over your stuff. Well, uh-huh. Two or three years ago, they were shooting or dragging or fighting somebody in the church.
Amen.
Now, fast forward to present day, let somebody else not speak or do something or fall short for whatever reason, and they're ready to hang them out to dry.
It's
amazing how short our memory is. So let's finish up this story. In verse 29, just like when he fell down, this guy fell down before the king and then asked for mercy. In verse 29, Matthew 18:29, it says, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Same situation.
Same words.
Same
exactly.
Situation. Like mm-hmm. I said, the same situation with religious leaders, with Christians, with the politicians. You know, politicians, it's like a joke. It's like, this time you're in power and you act a fool. Next time somebody uh-huh. else is in power. And the same stupid, idiotic stuff that you're doing, you're doing. They did, you're doing. And you're mm-hmm. trying to tell them how terrible they are. And, you know,
right.
it's almost this sick thing of, you know, you know, as long as I'm doing it, it's okay. But when you do it, it's murder, it's treason, it's the worst thing in the world. And people
mm-hmm.
are supposed to put up with it. But that's what I said. God set the ultimate example. We can't follow man. Man will let you down every day. Man will lie to you. Man will deceive. Man will hurt your feelings. Just when you thought he was decent and was doing right, he will turn around and show you how far he has fallen.
You're right. And that it's a shame because, you know, that's the type of society that we're living in now. I mean, and to be honest with you, you know, things haven't changed from the Old Testament times to New Testament times. It's the same old stuff. Only
not the new
it's a generation that are doing it. You know, got a lot of backstabbing going on. And, you know, do as I say, not
as I do.
But somewhere along the line, people have got to remember that, you know, we all have sinned. We all have had our faults.
Mm-hmm.
You think every so often, and I've learned this because I don't care how good you may think you are or how much Jesus you think you got, so often we do just what the Bible says and examine
yourself.
You got to take a look at your own self, your own life, and see if you're dotting every I, crossing every T, because, again, the Bible says we all have sinned. And that's an everyday occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to go before the Lord every day, even before we start the prayers begging for this, that, and the other. Lord, forgive me for any sins, whether they be by thought, word, or deed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not perfect.
Right.
I mean, you know, I share with New Birth all the time. Look, I'm not there yet. I'm still learning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still developing. I make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working to get better every day. I'm still human.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need that. I've got to look at me every so often to make sure that I'm in line with that word.
Amen.
Because I know me.
Mm-hmm.
I can get caught. And I'm ready to go caught.
Mm-hmm.
And that's human. And I'm just keeping it real. So, you know, we got to take a look at self.
Right.
Because we're not there yet. And the Bible teaches that there's none righteous but one.
Mm-hmm.
And so walk in these earthly bodies, we've got to do these things because we can forget real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you know, when this person, I mean, he grabbed folk by the throat, and now in verse 30, Matthew 18, verse 30, he says, and he would not, somebody wouldn't pay him. He wouldn't, he said, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. I mean, this dude was off the chain. I mean, off the chain. It reminds me during the presidential season when candidate Trump, his national security advisor, Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
Lock her up. Lock her up.
Yeah.
Knowing good and well, he didn't even tell the truth about his relationship with the folk in Russia. Lied to the vice president. Now he's under investigation.
Hello. He might get locked up. And then he'll be asking for compassion. And that is the thing. It's like, not only did he forget about how he was forgiven, but he went all the way to the deep end. And he couldn't be more wrong. It's like extremely not wrong. It's one thing to be wrong, but just to go to that extreme. And that's the thing. That's why we can't follow man, because they don't have the compassion of Christ. If he had the compassion of Christ, he would have remembered. And we always forget about where we came from and how we've messed up and how somebody forgave us. And when that happens, we have to turn around and do the same thing to others. But we always want to have that self-gratification that I was right. And that's the thing. It's like, technically, if you look at it, the guy owed the money.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, yes, because he owed him money, he should have gone to jail. But the compassion, the following what had happened to him, using that compassion, then you don't have to do it just because you're right. And too often people will hurt somebody or drag somebody down or say something just because they're right. And if he would look at his life and look at how he was in the same situation, then, okay, you're supposed to love your brother, love your neighbor like you love yourself. Somebody took care of him and forgave him. Why couldn't he forgive this person? Even though, yes, technically, he was right.
Okay. It's amazing. And, you know, again, we're coming up on this Passion Week. And you look at religious leaders, the Jews, I believe it's on Palm Sunday it's coming out. They were hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Uh-huh.
You know? But come Friday, they're talking about crucified. You know, and you know, they were turning on them, the religious leaders. They schemed and lied and brought in false witnesses and took them before the Roman leaders because they were looking for a king that would come and overthrow physically the Roman government. And Jesus didn't come to overthrow this time the physical Roman government, but he came to make a change in people's hearts for them to repent. And
right.
They didn't realize, even though they were supposed to be the scribes and the Pharisees, they were supposed to know the law and understand the prophetic word of the Old Testament. They were supposed to know that he was the Messiah. But because of their arrogance, they wanted to be in charge. They wanted to overthrow the Roman government. And, you know, that they were under oppression because they were disobedient to the word of God and allowed to be taken into captivity. They were under the authority of the Roman government. But yet they saw so much fault in the Roman government of being oppressive. But when their Messiah, Jesus, God's promised one, came just like it was prophesied, and Isaiah and all the other Old Testament prophets who were killed for telling the truth, they had the audacity to lock him up, lie on him, and go to get permission to be crucified. Even though they felt like they were being persecuted and crucified under the Roman government. So the hypocrisy, it just reeks to the high heaven of how low the human condition is because of sin, that they won't see their wrong, but can see with a huge magnifying glass someone else's wrong and want to be forgiven, but are so hardline that they choose not to forgive. Sheila G.
Amen. And I was thinking back to what Pastor G was talking about, how, you know, something we were talking about last night is how that is one of the things that Satan uses as a distraction to cause us to play on our emotions. And one of our emotions is truly unforgiveness because we are selfish people and we want what we want and we feel like we're right. But,
amen.
And we don't recognize that this is a tool of the enemy to make us forget the compassion, to make us forget the compassion of Christ, to make us forget about grace, and to become very negative and come down on our fellow man and exhibit behavior that's not like Christ, because that is the way that Satan uses to get our focus off what God wants us to do. That is the way that instead of this servant recognizing the passion, I know this is a parable, but the passion and then turn around and using that same passion in this example, he still yielded to his humanness, and it just shows how easily we can be distracted by Satan based off our emotions and how we feel instead of doing what Christ is leading us to do. And it happens all the time. And it happens where, you know, it's like, you know, I was saying the other day, like if I were your enemy, I would take those that are close to you, those that are around you, those situations, and I would have you focus on the situation instead of focusing on Christ. Because if you focus on Christ, you can't act ugly. If you are walking in the Spirit, you can't be in your feelings. The two don't go, they don't mix.
Right.
And that's why it's like, okay, either you're going to follow Christ or you're going to follow man. Man will lead you into a ditch. So that means that humanness in you, you got to give it over to the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Because otherwise, You're giving the enemy victory. You're giving the devil victory because his whole purpose, what has nothing to do with the person that you need to forgive or anything like that. It is the devil's job to get you into your emotions so that you stay out of the spirit, because if you're in the spirit, then you're going to do things that man can't understand and can't touch.
Right.
And that's
right.
That's what Satan wants to continue to do.
Amen.
And Pastor, see, because I've always had this thought, and when I read this chapter, and the thing about it is, he cast the man in prison until he should pay the debt. Well, how are you going to pay the debt if he's
in prison?
Worth it.
Yeah. I guess it's free labor, I guess. Free labor, I guess.
Hey, bye.
It's sobering. It is sobering. And this is the part that sobers me up. This is the example of, like I said earlier, that everyone is going to stand before God and give an account. And this is a kingdom principle. And so these next verses, it's sobering. It should actually be chilling to those who don't have salvation. This is how it's going to go down. And so how is it going to go down when we stand before God and judge? When Jesus and his model players says, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. People that die in unforgiveness, they're going to be separated from God eternally. And so this is how it's going to go down. God's going to, the record and the witnesses, there's going to be witnesses that have observed what we've done in this body, and we'll stand before a righteous God and give an account. And this is how it's going to go down. Let's see how it's going to go down. In verse 31, here are the witnesses. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. The righteous are going to judge the wicked. Revelation talks about the righteous are going to judge the wicked. They're going to be sitting in judgment of what the wicked have done. And in verse 32, it says, Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass.
Mm-hmm.
Sobering stuff.
Powerful
see what Jesus is some sobering stuff.
Go ahead. Scream around holding grudges, and they're gonna bust hell wide open, and that other person's gonna go on about their business.
Amen.
Yeah, the one with the biggest amount of sin.
Right.
Yeah, the murderer. But this is sobering to give us a picture, a glimpse of how the judgment, individual judgment, is going to come down. It's going to be guilty as charged. it's why grace is extended, and we're in this dispensation of grace right now. All we can plead, Dr. G, is for grace. All we can plead is for mercy.
Amen.
You know, the Bible teaches that we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest anyone should boast. And so when the dispensation of grace is gone, it's going to be guilty as charged, and folks will have made their choice. And their final destination will be total separation or eternal separation from God, Dr. G, and be tormented. Their soul will be tormented, separated from God, Dr. G.
Well, and you're right, and it's sad because nothing that we say or do doesn't seem to help. It doesn't change people. It's like they all have to go, and it doesn't matter what age they are. They can be young, middle age, or some of these old fogies. They all have to go through it and learn. And my prayer is that they don't die before they make
everlasting too late.
because it's going to be too late. And once they leave this earthly life,
that's it.
They can't go back. Lord, I'm sorry.
Because
this is going to be too late then.
Amen.
So my prayer is, you know, praying that people would come to grips with this thing now and stop taking life for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Look at
mm-hmm.
it for what it is. Bible says tomorrow is not promised.
Hello. And the Bible says there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Sheila G, that there's a price to pay for unforgiveness.
Right.
And you know, you got to look. That's why it's so important to study this word, because it's a mirror to let you know where you don't line up to where you need to ask God for forgiveness and ask Him to renew the right spirit within you, so you can and do the things of God. But if we don't know it, and if, like you said, Sheila G, the enemy's job is to distract us, to keep us from seeing how important it is to study the Word of God, and how important it is to attend church, school, and Bible study, and have your own
mm-hmm.
personal time with God. If that's his job, to distract us so that it's less chance for us to live a Christ-like life, or even worse, to be deceived, to think that we're so good that we don't need a Savior, and reject his plan of salvation that he put into practice, or he put into play back in Genesis 3rd chapter and verse 15th verse, where he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and thy seed and her seed, and it will bruise thy heel and you'll bruise thy head. And he said that there's a line that was drawn between righteous and unrighteous, and that ultimately God would be victorious. But if you're blinded to that fact, you're deceived that you're there's nothing wrong with you, you're not that bad, you don't need forgiveness, you don't need a Savior, then you'll live in unforgiveness, and you'll live in not forgiving someone else, and
mm-hmm.
you're making your bed with a destiny of being spiritually separated from God eternally.
And that's why the thing about forgiveness, you know, you always hear people say that, you know, yes, you even have to forgive someone that's done you wrong, even though you've been right. And a lot of times, and people will say that the forgiveness is for yourself. Well, this is why the forgiveness is for yourself, because if you don't forgive that person, not only does the issue get resolved and that person's still gone on and moved about their business,
mm-hmm.
but you're hurting yourself. So you need to forgive that person, not just for them, but for you. In addition to the fact that the Great Commission is for us to go out and draw others to Christ. How can you draw somebody to Christ if you're walking around holding a grudge and not halfway speaking
mm-hmm.
to them? It doesn't mean you pick and choose who you're going to draw to Christ. That means that you're supposed to be an ambassador for Christ at all times. But if you're behaving a certain way, instead of showing that example, you can't do that. And that's the Great Commission. That's what we get saved for, so that we can draw other people. But if we don't forgive, we need to forgive not just for that other person, but also for ourselves, because we're going to impact our salvation by holding a grudge against somebody for what? You know, I mean, what you know, you have people that go around and not talk to somebody for years, and half the time,
mm-hmm.
they forgot why they stopped talking.
True, that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Well, we're rapidly running out of time, and we just wanted to ask that question about forgiveness. And I just want to ask the question, you know, as we come to Compassion Week, coming up on Palm Sunday and the Passion Week, just ask the question, do we feel we need to be forgiven? And if we feel we need to be forgiven, does that help us to be more forgiving toward others? And sort of like do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Do we still believe in that principle? Just ask the question, do we feel we need forgiveness, and does it help us see the need to forgive others? So we're going to go to the phone lines. First line we're going to go to, last four digits is 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, we need forgiveness. I'll make it personal. I need forgiveness every second, every moment. Whether we sin daily, the word tells us we sin daily. Whether we know it or not, we are sinning.
Mm-hmm.
And we need forgiveness and also ask God to pray to keep us humble.
Mm-hmm.
And when we pray and ask God to keep us humble, then we will recognize that it's only by God's grace that we can do anything. And so as he give us his mercy and his grace and he keep us humble, then that give
mm-hmm.
us that compassion heart, that take away that stony heart, and we have that heart
mm-hmm.
of flesh. We begin to care for people and love people and be more sensitive to their feelings and their needs. So,
amen.
Yes, we need forgiveness all the time. And if Jesus stopped forgiving us, then we certainly would be in trouble. We could just say this is it. So as much as he forgive us, we need to forgive others. And
amen.
You know, people can say it's easy. It's no, it take a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of humbleness. It's easy when people
amen.
Treating you good. But
mm-hmm.
when people treating you bad, it's not that easy.
Poor boy.
You know. So, you know, Jesus went through it too. And so he had to pray to the Father to give him the strength.
Lord have mercy.
And so we need to do the same thing, you know, just continue to ask God to keep us humble and meet and seek his face.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1411. 1411, you're on the air.
Hey, everybody. It's Brother Brandon Stewart. Hope everybody's doing well.
All right.
Yeah, forgiveness is, I'm being honest. That's one of the reasons why I love calling in. I can be as honest as I need to be, especially with myself. Forgiveness is very difficult. I've always been a believer that forgiveness is a two-way street because you have certain situations where people are actually asking for your forgiveness, where they're actually sorry for what they've done to wrong you, and then it still, you know, requires you at some point to forgive. And then you have other situations where people aren't apologizing, people aren't sorry or remorseful for what they've done, but if from a Christian standpoint, we still have to forgive. And I've always believed the mindset that forgiveness is more so for us than the person that's wronged us. You know, it's very difficult because obviously it depends on the deed that was done and how deep they cut you or how severe the wound is. It's going to
mm-hmm.
let you know
mm-hmm.
to forgive, but I think my issue has always been going through the process. You know, people say forgiveness, they think, boom, it's instant. It's a work in progress. Sometimes you have to
mm-hmm.
rebuild that
mm-hmm.
trust. Sometimes you have to mend that wound, and just like wounds, they don't heal like they used to when we were younger, where you know, fight with your brother, your sister, you argue, you hate each other. 2 hours later, y'all back out playing.
As you go
through this thing and you deal with people, you find that sometimes it takes much longer to forgive
mm-hmm.
and to heal. And, you know, people always have, I look at myself as a bank, people always have a line of credit with me where how much I can take, and they're okay. Like, oh, okay, you know, I can look over that, you know, whatever. But at some point, people, you know, they exceed their limit. Everybody has
mm-hmm.
a line where
mm-hmm.
you get to the point where you're like, okay, you've crossed me or you wronged me, and it takes a while. Sometimes it never happens again where people can regain your trust or you will ever be able to forgive someone. But, yes, we always want to be forgiven, but I think the issue is that depending on which side of the fence you're on, you only look at it from your perspective because we're like, oh, what are they upset for? I said, I'm sorry, but you're not looking at all the
mm-hmm.
things that you've
mm-hmm.
done or the severity of what mm-hmm. it is. And then from the wrong standpoint, you're looking at, well, how could they do this to me? I'm hurt. I'm upset. But if somebody's genuinely
right.
apologizing, remember the anger and the feelings and the frustration is impacting you. So remember, as long as you're harboring those feelings and you're holding on to it, it's not impacting the person that wronged you. They'll wait for you to say that you're sorry, but guess who's not getting sleep at night? Guess who's walking around frustrated? Guess who's pouting? Guess who's sulking? It's the person who's been wronged because you battling that demon of forgiveness is basically, it's impacting you. You start getting sick. You start not being yourself, and it starts to impact you. So sometimes we put ourselves in that prison. We put ourselves in that cage. Because we're not forgiven, we're thinking all these things, we're wondering what happened, how did it get here, whatever. But sometimes you just saying, I forgive you, can set you free. Now, I forgive you doesn't mean, hey, we're going to go back to the way it was, but sometimes
right.
you have to
right.
get the process started, and the road to repairing and the road to getting over it and the moving on is
mm-hmm.
to forgive someone. But we're humans. We have pride, and it does take a lot of pride. I'll admit there have been
mm-hmm.
situations that have happened, and I haven't forgiven those people. But guess what? I recognize it. I'm working on it, but I'm not there
mm-hmm.
yet, as Pastor Gregory said. I'm not there yet, but I know that there are some things where had I been wrong years ago before I really started getting
yeah.
closer to Christ, I would have cut the person out of my life. Forget forgiveness. It's like you don't even exist to me. Live your life. I'm going to live mine. But, you know, I've started to gradually get better at that. Again, I am a work in process, but people always have to remember that, you know, it's not intentional, but we sometimes take it selfish because we're always wanting people to understand where we're coming from and what we're going through, whether we're the wrong or we're the one that, you know, committed the one that's been impacted by whatever, you know, it's hurt us. But you always have to remember that there's always two or more people to these equations,
mm-hmm.
and you can't always look at it from yourself. You can't say, well, had it been me, I would have been over it. But it's not you. It's
right,
somebody else.
Right,
so who
right.
are you to say that
somebody right.
because they're taking too long in your eyes to forgive them? Or the other side of the coin, how could they do that to me? A lot of times nobody's going to know what they're doing to you until you bring it to their attention. A lot of times as Christians,
mm-hmm.
we're quick to talk to our friends and talk to our family members and our loved ones and tell them how we feel. But guess what? For some reason, we're scared of confrontation. I know I'm not. No one's raised that way. If I got a problem with you, I may talk to Pastor Gregory to say, hey, look, here's how I want to approach it. Let me know if I'm too aggressive, if I need to take my foot off
mm-hmm.
the gas pedal.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you and I are going to have some dialogue because my issue is with you. And a lot of times, what do most people say? Man, I didn't even know. I had no idea. Now I know. But a lot of times we hold grudges and we don't forgive people, and they're just going about their business because they don't know. It's never been put on their radar. I've had it happen to me. People are like, hey, man, you know, you're a little too aggressive, whatever. I'm like, I'm glad that you brought it to my attention and weren't just
mm-hmm,
harboring
mm-hmm.
these feelings and talking behind my back. And I'm doing what I'm
right.
doing, thinking I'm doing nothing wrong. And guess what? If I don't think I'm doing nothing wrong, guess who's going to end up ticking off every time I come around? I'm the person who's talking behind my back and dogging me out, because if you don't bring it to my attention, we can't rectify that situation and build and go.
Right.
So a lot of times, pray about it first. Talk to your people that's in your corner, but have
mm-hmm,
some dialogue
mm-hmm.
because a lot of relationships have been cut. A lot of family members have been cut, all because of miscommunication, not because of its
right.
discrepancies or not seeing eye. The fact is that nobody's talking to each other. We're talking
right.
to everybody else, getting wrong opinions and advice from everybody else instead of having a one-on-one conversation, egos aside, with the people that we need to. So I would definitely say also with forgiveness, you don't necessarily have to talk to the person once you've forgiven them, but figure out what's going on first before you make your mind up, because we have a lot of petty things that can, you know,
mm-hmm.
sever a lot of relationships, both personally,
right.
you know, workplace-related, church relationships, and it's all simply a misunderstanding. So that's just my two cents.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for
yeah.
your comment tonight. We're going to get the next call. The last four digits, 8272. 8272, you're on there. 8272.
Oh, hi.
Hello. I'm Missy.
This is Missy. Bobby said he was great tonight. I'm quiet. I'm sorry, y'all. Forgiveness. I really do believe that, you know, people and as Christians, we have to learn to forgive people. And sometimes it can be hard
mm-hmm.
depending on the situation. But if we're trying to be like Christ-like, we have to follow in his lead. We have to follow what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with people. Like, for me, it'd be hard. Like, I have a pet peeve that it is very hard for me to deal with people who think they're right all the time when they know they're wrong. Like, they know they be wrong, but it's like they was, like, trying to convince you to agree with them and everything. And I just be like, no, you're
mm-hmm.
wrong. And then if you, like, you know, point out why they're wrong, it could be just like something so trivial of, oh, that dress had a purple flower on it. Just to, you know, use that as an example. But they're trying to say, no, the flower was pink with rose petals around it. And you know that they're wrong. And then if you, like, point out, you know, why they're wrong, you know, they catch an attitude and, you know, want to get all hostile with you. And me personally, I am not here for it. I can't deal with it. And, like, matter of fact, today, prime example, a relative of my... Zion, you know better. Be quiet. Prime example, a relative of mine had called my mother and they were talking about something totally different. And one of my good girlfriends, Stephanie, she just had a baby girl, a healthy baby girl at that. And so her fiance, her mother-in-law, you know, was then helping her with her other two kids because she has a toddler and a five-year-old son. So her fiance, you know, he still has to go to work. His boss gave him the day off, you know, to be there for the delivery and an extra day. So he had to go back to work. So, long story short, I don't know how my mom and this relative, particular relative, got on the conversation, but my mom was like, oh, no, Ms. Brown is down there, you know, helping her. Her mother-in-law is down there helping her. So this relative would say, oh, that's not his real mother. Her fiance, the lady Miss Brown, is his mother. So when my mother told me this, I just couldn't do nothing but laugh because I was just like, see, this comes from people always being in people's business that they don't need to be into, and you don't know what you're talking about, like you're wrong. Like, you know, my mother just said she didn't even bother to say, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. She said she just listened. So I was like, Mom, I said, that woman is Brian's biological mother. No, she wasn't married to his father, but they might as well have been married because they've been together for so many years, but he's deceased now. So I was like, you know, he always thinks that he know everything. Like, that's the problem now. I think some people, they just need to keep their nose out of business that don't concern them because they make a donkey out of themselves, you know. So I totally agree. Like, you know, sometimes you just have to, you know, kind of like, let people think that they're right sometimes and just don't even bother to, like, argue with them or try to, like, convince them, like, look, you're wrong, you know, and just forgive them for their actions and move on. And I've learned, you know, I'm not forgiving them for them. I'm forgiving them for myself because I'm trying to make it to the kingdom.
Amen.
The word says, you have to forgive because Christ and Jesus and God, you know, he forgives me.
Amen.
You know, for when I mess up, for when I sin, because, you know, we not perfect. And that's why I love our church and our pastor, because he keeps it so real. You know, he human.
Amen.
And he said, you know, he struggles with things. He's not perfect. You know, he's still learning and growing. And that's what I like, you know, that he's relatable. So Bible study was good. You know, I really enjoyed Bible study. I be trying to, you know, tell people, encourage people to call in, but, you know, They got their own agenda, but my mom, she's not able to do Bible study because of her job. But it was great. I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. All right. We got one more caller. One more caller. Last 4 digits is 9772. You're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yes. Oh, Lord, you ask for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness, and the Lord just spare you. And each morning you wake up and your eyes open up. He's asking you, gave you another chance to stay on the right track and follow the footsteps, and he let you stay another day. And he has brought me a mighty long way. And I keep saying,
Amen.
I forgive me for anything that I did wrong or said something I did wrong. And if I did anything or say anything now, please hold my mouth and keep my mind closed. And whatever it is, forgive me and thank you. And I said, thank you, Father, for giving me another day. And I'm still here. All right?
Amen.
Love
you. All right.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G, Dr. G, it was a good subject tonight. Anything you guys want to say? And Sheila G, and close us out in prayer.
I just want to thank the Lord again for his good. We've been getting some really, really good lessons that we can apply to our lives. And I just want to remind everybody that the devil will use whatever tool necessary to keep our focus off Christ. And one of the ones that he loves the most is our emotions. So when we get in that feeling, when we get angry, when we get upset, we need to really think about where the source is. The source is not necessarily that person. They may be allowing the devil to use them, but the source is Satan. He is really the one that's going after, and all his trickery is to distract us. So as we go throughout the day and people say and do things like Missy said, just let it go.
Amen.
And just go with the flow. It's not going to kill you to not have to make sure that that person is correct. As long as, and it's not worth risking your salvation, you know. Suppose God looked at us like that every time we messed up.
Wow.
And, you know, then we'd all be wiped off the face of the earth. So
Amen.
I just want to encourage everyone to on purpose, to forgive on purpose, not out of practice. Make a serious effort to call the devil out.
Amen.
And basically say, you know what, you are not going to steal my joy because God is And I don't get my salvation from man. I get it from the Lord. Let us pray.
Amen.
Dear Father, Lord, I just thank you for another good lesson teaching us about forgiveness and unforgiveness, Lord. Now, Father, I pray for each and everyone on this line that we will stay focused on you, Lord, not so much be operated by our emotions, but for you to lead, guide, and direct our path as to how you want us to handle things, because we know that you can do. We can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. And we need to look to you, God, for our strength, not internally, not through other people, not through man, because at the end of the day, they're just people. But there is none like you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you will just bless each and every one of us throughout this week. I thank you for the many miracles that we have seen over this past few months. Past few days, Lord, you just put everything in place, and that's why we have to put our trust in you and not in man. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's going to do it for this Thursday night. Hopefully we'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Amen.
Amen.